Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, June the 7th. Today, we're going to look at a couple of stories in the news. Former Director Comey, will be in Congress tomorrow. I have an article about that at the American Thinker that we'll be talking about. There were some hearings today in the Senate. Rather boring, I thought. There's a very interesting dispute between Mexico and the United States over sugar. And I think it's interesting because I thought that's why we had NAFTA, so that we wouldn't have these disputes. But I guess not. If you look at Obamacare, another state, a big state of Ohio, is losing a major carrier. So that means that a lot of people in Ohio are not going to have any Obamacare. But we begin by going back in history just a little bit to June 7th, 1966. And this is the day that the political career of Ronald Reagan was started. This was the day that he was nominated by the California GOP to be the GOP candidate for governor. He, of course, went on to win the election in 1966. I think he defeated the incumbent Governor Brown, who's the father, by the way, of the current governor, Jerry Brown. And then he was reelected in 1970. And then, of course, we know what happened later on. He ran for president in 1976, took it to the convention, came within a few delegates of winning that convention. Then he was elected on his own in 1980 and reelected in 1984. So one of the great political careers of the 20th century began on this day in 1966 when then Ronald Reagan, private citizen Ronald Reagan, was nominated by the GOP to be the candidate for governor. Now, some of the people like me who are very familiar with Ronald Reagan's career and are very familiar with his biography, we would argue that his political career actually began 2 years earlier, and that would have been October 1964, when then, again, private citizen Ronald Reagan went on television and gave a speech on behalf of Senator Barry Goldwater, who was running for president that year against President Lyndon Johnson. That speech that Ronald Reagan gave, I think it was late October 1964, a couple of weeks before the election, that's the speech that I think opened up a lot of eyes. And all of a sudden, a lot of people said, this man is not only a good candidate for governor, but for president. And I think a lot of people looked at that speech, listened to that speech, and said, here's a man who would make an excellent candidate, but he's also a man who can convey and present conservative principles. So I think it really began that day. But, of course, he was not a candidate. In October of 64, he became a candidate today in 1966 when he was nominated by the GOP. So we wish, obviously Mr. Reagan passed away in 2004, but we wish for all of you to read more about his life. I think it's an amazing career, the career of Ronald Reagan, and has a great book that he wrote called My American Life. And then, of course, there are other books written about him that are pretty good. But that book, My American Life by Ronald Reagan, sort of an autobiography that he wrote a couple of years after he left the presidency, is still, I think, one of his best books. Also, The Reagan Diaries is a very good book. These are, you know, but one of the things about Reagan that people don't know, it, he was a prolific writer, and he would read a lot and he would write a lot, sort of the old-fashioned writer, you know, take out the pen and write. And his diaries are actually very interesting. I mean, they pretty much give you the history on a day-to-day basis of his presidency because he would write something down every day. And it's fascinating when you read that diary. So we remember Ronald Reagan on this day, June 7th, 1966. Let's get into the politics. I have a post over at the American Thinker today where I write about former Director Comey. I predicted, and I still think it'll be that way, this is going to be a bummer of a presentation. I mean, anybody who's expecting something huge to happen That's not going to happen. This is not going to be anything other than pretty much what we know already. In fact, as I understand, Mr. Comey has actually written his presentation, submitted his presentation, where he basically says, yes, President Trump told me to take it easy on Michael Flynn, but I didn't interpret it as any obstruction of justice or anything like that. I just think he was taking care of his friend or whatever. This is a big bummer. It's going to be a big bummer for the Democrats because nothing of consequence is going to come out of this presentation tomorrow. It's going to be a huge bummer. I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats very disgusted by the end of the presentation. There is nothing there, folks. Nothing in this. There's just simply absolutely nothing. In fact, I think the only real story that hopefully we'll get to eventually is the unmasking of U.S. citizens. That's what I like to see. The Democrats, particularly all the Democrats who are always civil libertarians, I like to see them as excited about that as they are about all this Russia connection. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Nothing to this Russia connection. It's just a lot of hot air, a lot of political posturing by a political party that, frankly, 9 months later, and they still do not understand or do not want to understand why they lost the election. So don't expect a lot of things to happen from the Comey hearings. Nothing will. Now, some senators will ask some very interesting questions, and there'll be some interesting back and forth, but don't expect anything of consequence to come out of this hearing Thursday. And you've got all these networks counting down to the Comey appearance. I think this is going to be a bummer. In fact, in my article today at the American Thinker, I say that this is going to be as boring as the NBA playoffs. You know, the NBA playoffs before they got to Cleveland and Golden State were so predictable and so boring because of all the blowouts. Well, it's going to be that way with Comey before the, I think it's going to be the Senate or the House. I'm not sure where he will be tomorrow. There was another hearing today where they had the intelligence officers as well as the acting head of the FBI, the assistant attorney general, a couple of other people, Mr. Coates, who I think is head of the NSA, or National Security Agency. I believe that's the correct title. And then there was another gentleman who's a military man, a very distinguished military man, Mr. Rogers. And these four men sat there today, and nothing of consequence was said. You know, the senators kept probing, well, can you tell me this, can you tell me that? And they correctly sat back and said, no, we cannot answer these questions in a public setting. And frankly, no one has been pressuring me to break the law, which is what these Democrats are trying to say. And again, I think this week is going to be a real downer for Democrats because this meeting today was rather silly, really, at times. I mean, the senator from California, the new senator from California, Ms. Harris, I think is her name, she didn't come across as very smart today. And frankly, in general, the Democrats, they keep looking. It's like they've got the answer that they're looking for, but unfortunately you cannot have the answer. It's like there has to be a crime before you get to your answer, and these Democrats are going to be very, very disappointed, extremely disappointed, I think, when this is all said and done. It's just going to be a bummer of a meeting for the Democrats. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
The Canto Group is a recruiting firm located in Dallas, Texas that specializes in the placement of executives and engineering professionals with companies throughout Texas. If your company is seeking quality candidates in the fields of general managers, plant managers, sales, CFOs or controllers with a manufacturing background, production manager supervisors, engineering specializing in mechanical, manufacturing, industrial, electrical, safety, or quality engineers or designer drafters, feel free to contact our team regarding your company's future or current openings. Contact Silvio Canto Jr., email thecantogroup@aol.com, or visit our website, thecantogroup.com.
Well, let's get back to our program. As I mentioned, we've got a couple of other topics that I like to get into, but I just to reemphasize, I think this hearing today in the Congress was frankly embarrassing. It's become so partisan. It's become so partisan that it's embarrassingly partisan. I mean, we cannot seem to have a conversation in this country or question or a conversation without things getting awfully partisan, and that's not good for the country. That's simply not good for the country. And I'm not just blaming the Democrats for this. Obviously, they're not responsible for all the partisanship, but they've contributed quite a bit. And much of it has to do with the fact that they simply have not come to terms with the fact that they lost the presidency. And they lost the presidency for a lot of reasons, but it wasn't because of Russia. That much I can tell you. It was not because of Russia or collusion with the Russians. It had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with that. I have a post coming out at the American Thinker, hopefully tomorrow, where I talk about this dispute between the United States and Mexico over sugar. You know, I've been supporting NAFTA pretty much from the beginning. I always thought it was a good deal for the United States, but I thought it was a good deal because it made trade more equitable. But apparently not when it comes to sugar. Mexico was still allegedly dumping sugar in the United States, and the sugar people on our side were complaining about it. They finally sat down with the Mexicans, and they agreed to work out something that was happy for both sides. To me, the big shock of all of this is, number one, I didn't think we had problems like this because of NAFTA. I thought that's what NAFTA was supposed to have fixed. I guess not. It's still going on, some of these allegations of dumping and so on. The other thing, I think the timing of this is bad for the NAFTA negotiations, because I think it really emphasizes to me, and as I say, I supported NAFTA, but it emphasizes to me, or it shows me, how difficult it is to have free trade with a country that basically subsidizes industries, in this case Mexico with sugar. Now, the reason they subsidize sugar is because they subsidize a lot of items back home that have to do with the basic food for poor people and all of that, so they have to do it. The Mexican government has to do it, but of course it does have a consequence when they're doing business with the United States, because we don't subsidize our sugar. So it's a confusing thing, but it does make it difficult. It does make it difficult to have free trade when you don't really have free trade, obviously not with respect to sugar. So I thought it was a bad day for NAFTA, actually, particularly with the negotiations coming up over the next few months. Well, if you've been watching the news, Obamacare took another major hit in a very important state, and that is the state of Ohio. A major insurance company has pulled out, and that leaves something like 18 counties in the state of Ohio without a provider. We saw the same thing in Kentucky. We saw the same thing in Tennessee. We saw the same thing in Arizona. We saw the same thing in Iowa, where you have providers who are simply saying, we just can't do this anymore. We simply cannot afford to do business like this anymore. They pull out, and as a consequence, a bunch of people get left without an option for Obamacare or for health insurance. I think this raises the urgency on the Republicans to put something up as soon as possible to at least try to fix this incredible mess. Repeal it would be my preference. Some people say, well, let it collapse and then we'll pick up the pieces. But that will mean that a lot of people, frankly, are going to get hurt. And I'd rather try to do something. I'd rather take the attitude of, hey, let's go in and offer the American people a better deal. And I do think we can get a better deal. But, man, Obamacare is just falling apart, absolutely falling apart. And when a state like Ohio, again, one of the top, five or six states, has a problem like this, well, you know, a lot of people are going to get hurt. I don't know specifically where these counties are in Ohio, but that is a lot of people. Just a quick note, going back in history again, it was on this day in 1976 that an article came out in a New York magazine, and that was the article. It was an article about a bunch of young people who would go to the discotheques on Saturday nights, and it was that article that eventually got us to the movie Saturday Night Fever. Robert Stigwood, who was then the manager of the Bee Gees, the late Robert Stigwood, and he was also the president of RSO organization, he read that article, he turned it over to his people and said, what can we do with this? Well, what they did with it, they made a movie with a young man named John Travolta, and I think you know the story of Saturday Night Fever. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Have a great day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.